Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord of the earth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord of the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. For God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song.
Sing unto the Lord of the earth.
Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. For God is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I will celebrate. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him, I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord. My God, you are my King, you are my Lord, you're my everything, you're the reason that I live, you're the reason that I breathe, you're the morning sun, a noontime breeze, the evening star, you are everything that is good and just and beautiful, you're the reason that I see, you are the Lord my God. You are the Lord my God. You are my God, you are my King, you are my Lord, you're my everything, you're the reason that I live, you're the reason that I breathe, you're the morning sun, a noontime breeze, the evening star, you are everything that is good and just and beautiful. You're the reason that I see. You are the Lord my God. You are the Lord my God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The earth bows down and the heavens rejoice. You are so holy. Your grace has filled my empty heart. You've shown me love, gave me a brand new start. You are the Lord my God. You are the Lord my God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The earth bows down and the heavens rejoice. You are so holy. Your grace has filled my empty heart. Show me love, give me a brand new start. You are the Lord my God. You are the Lord my God. You are the Lord my God. Yes, you are, yes, you are. Long for you, I long for your embrace, I yearn for you, I yearn to see your face, and to feel your touch, to feel your holy. What my heart longs for, it's what my heart yearns for. I long for you, I long for your embrace. For you, I yearn to see your face and to feel your touch, to feel your holiness. It's what my heart longs for. It's what my life in me, erase my sins' decay. Please help me, desperately I say, I need you, I need you. You're the answer to my prayer. I need you, I need you. You're the answer to my prayer. The answer to my long for you, I long for you, I long for you, I long for you.
Well, this morning we have finally arrived at a place that none of us want to be, to a element of the fruit of the Spirit that we have been talking about that nobody wants to talk about. I would even guess that most of us avoid praying about today's particular topic or virtue. It's most certainly something that none of us like to deal with or honestly even think about, simply because most of the time it's a test for us, and we certainly don't like those. It is an element of the fruit that is totally and completely opposite of our microwave mentality that we have in today's society, in today's world. In fact, if we look at it from a worldly standpoint, most people would counsel us to absolutely forget about this attribute. Don't even think about it. Ignore it, avoid it, get past it however you can, because it doesn't follow our world's self-centered lifestyle. It doesn't follow our world's way of thinking. It also plays right into the enemy's hand, quite honestly. How does it do that, you ask? Oh, thank you for asking. Because typically when we avoid this particular topic, we make bad decisions. And when we make bad decisions, that opens the door to the enemy. And he capitalizes on our bad decisions, and then he beats us down and beats us up and drags us around and makes us even more frustrated. So many issues could be avoided in life if we learn to actually walk in the fruit of the Spirit the way we are supposed to, especially with this one particular element of the fruit. We are in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. We have spoken so far about love, joy, and peace. You might recall from our overview a few weeks ago that those are the more personal traits. We said we could break it down into three categories. We're really not that focused on it. But that is more of the personal side of things, because it directly affects us personally. Learning to love, learning to live in joy and in peace. Not that the others don't affect us personally, but that love and joy and peace is an element of maturing in our lives. And I stressed it that way, or I say it that way on purpose. Maturing. It's a constant thing. There's not a one of us in this room or listening to my voice that are ever going to be mature in Christ until we stand in His presence. As long as we walk this earth, we should be growing. We should be learning. We should be moving forward. The day you tell me you have it all figured out and you know the Word inside and out and you're living everything the way you should live is the day that I rebuke you, because you will be lying. None of us have it all figured out. We have to constantly be moving forward and maturing in Christ. When we learn to walk in that love, joy, and peace, we not only have a new outlook on others, but we start to see ourselves differently as well. We start to see who we were and who we're becoming. We start to see what we shouldn't be like and what we should become like. We see ourselves differently along with the people that are around us. And quite honestly, we even begin to see the Lord differently. We begin to see our relationship with Him differently, because that's what maturing in Christ does. It helps us to grow closer to Him and see things much more clearly. Well, after talking about those three, love, joy, and peace, we have now come to the next dreaded P word. I'm afraid to even say it out loud because we don't like it. Nobody throw anything at me. We're going to talk about patience. No, Pastor Kurt, don't make us talk about patience. Don't make us think about that nasty word. Don't make us go there, Pastor Kurt. Good news. I'm not making you go there. Scripture is. God is. I don't like patience either. But biblically, it's something we need to dwell on, look at, and have a whole lot more of. When we think about patience, there's a lot of different things that come to mind. But I want to talk first about who it is we should be patient with. Because that certainly comes to our mind or our thought process. Immediately, we think about being patient with other people. Patient with our coworkers, patient with our kids, patient with our parents, to be honest, patient with our teachers. Whatever it is, we think about other people and being patient with them. Well, we also have to think about being patient with ourselves. We don't often think about that perspective of being patient, but we do. We need to think about being patient with ourselves. It goes kind of back to what I talked about last week when I reminded us about living in joy. I reminded us that you know, if you didn't live in joy the previous week, it's okay. You still have a chance. You can still live in joy. It's not over. See, just because we fail in something doesn't mean we are failures. We have opportunity to change. We have opportunity to be different. We have opportunity to grow and to mature. Just because we fall to a sin or we stumble in some place doesn't mean it's the end for us. So there's an element of learning to be patient with ourselves that we have to come to grips with as well. Beyond that, we also need to learn to be patient with God. Now, I know that sounds a little strange to some of us, but we need to learn to be patient with God. See, Scripture is very, very clear to us that His timing is not our timing, and our timing is not His timing. Let me give you two little verses that we don't think about enough when it comes to being patient with God. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Now, I don't know that we all need to get hung up on the day to 1,000 years part. The idea there is God's timing is not the same as our timing. And if you didn't know this, or if you forgot about it, or if someone misled you, let me just reassure you today that God's timing is absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. We don't always see it that way. We don't always think about it that way. But God's timing, which is much different than our timing, is perfect, which means our timing is not, which means we're the ones that are wrong. We get so hung up on the idea of dates and times and deadlines, we set ourselves up for disappointment. We truly do. You know, those things all have their time and place. You know, when our boss asks us to turn in something at a certain time, we need to honor that. We need to do that. I mean, deadlines, timing, all that stuff has its place. But we cannot link it to God. We cannot give God a deadline. We cannot tell Him He better act in 20 minutes or else. Or else what? What are you going to do? We cannot give God deadlines. You know, we forget day to day, just in our normal lives, we're going about doing our thing. We forget God is the one who told the sun when to rise and the sun when to set. God, in His perfect timing, decided when Jesus would be born as a babe in that manger. God's timing is perfect, and He has set everything in order. It's by His decision, His clock, His timing, His day timer, not ours. So what would suddenly make us think that we know timing better than He knows timing? You know, we have all this external input, and we buy into it. Oh, yeah, well, it says right here that if this isn't happening by this time, God says, no, you don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. I'll tell you when. I'll tell you how. I'll give you the direction that you need. So patience can apply to others. It can apply to ourselves. And it can apply to God. And we absolutely must take just a half a second or so to turn that last one around a little bit. Do you realize how patient God has been with us? Oh, my word. How patient has God been with me, with you, with mankind in general? When was the last time we answered God on His first call? Hello, Kurt, I got something for you. I'll get there. When was the last time we listened to Him? When we first heard that still, soft voice? When was the last time we obeyed God without question or direction? You know, sometimes God tells us to do things that just seem way out of bounds for us, but that doesn't give us the right to question what God is telling us to do. When was the last time we obeyed Him without question? When's the last time that we were the example that God called us to be without argument? Hey, I want you to go to the office tomorrow morning and I want you to minister to so-and-so. Tell them to have a great day. Tell them you're praying for them. Tell them something positive. Oh, Lord, they hate you. They don't want to hear about you. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Hello? We do that all the time, people. All the time. God tells us to do something that doesn't make sense, you still do it. You still obey. You still react. You still be the witness, the example that He is. God has been so unbelievably patient with you and I, it is not remotely funny. Our God is great and mighty and holy, 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 and patient beyond understanding. Let's take a little bit different look at patience today. Let's take a look at the Greek background of patience. Because this is another one of those words in our English language where we have a word, patience, but Scripture and the Greek have a couple of different words that we translate as patience. They're very similar, but nonetheless, there's a couple of different words. And for all of you Greek scholars out there, forgive me because I'm about to butcher them, but I'm going to say them anyhow. The two Greek words are microthymia and hypomon. Those are the two different words that we translate into patience. I'm kind of glad we just use patience, honestly, but either of these words can be looked at with a common element, and they bring about the idea of forbearance or endurance. So pressing on or keep moving in, to endure something. Well, we're going to look at these in a couple other more detailed perspectives. We're going to look at the second word first, the hypomone. This is generally expressing patience in things or patience in circumstances. For example, when we are called to run a race that we don't really want to run, when we're tested in a way we really don't want to be tested in, when we have a challenge or a conflict in life that we have no interest in facing, this is the word that would most represent that concept. Or if you want to think about it from Christ's standpoint, this would be the patience he exercised when he hung on the cross. The patience that he had for you and I allowed his hands and feet to stay nailed to that wood so that we could be forgiven. The other Greek word is more related to patience with people. And again, we all have that issue, I know, but it talks more about the idea of people, but it can also be translated into long suffering as a quality of God. Long suffering. And that's kind of what Paul was talking about in regards to the fruit of the Spirit. So let's think about that for a moment. We've talked about love, joy, and peace. No matter what situation we are facing in our lives, no matter what those things might bring about, we are still to live certainly in joy and peace. But patience is supposed to fall right up there as well. No matter what is going on in our lives, we are to show patient endurance in things. We are to continue to press on and move forward patiently. It's right up there with the whole idea of living at peace and in joy. Patient in our actions, our attitudes, our reactions in things. Patience is even a major element in our maturing in Christ. James, one of my favorite books, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. By the way, when I said James was my favorite book, I was being a little bit sarcastic there, because scripture like this is hard to swallow. Consider it pure joy when all these troubles and issues and problems surround you, because it's actually good for you. It actually builds you up. It actually develops you. It actually helps you to mature in Christ. Perseverance, long-suffering, walking through difficult situations, they all relate together. People will often tell us not to pray for patience. Even fellow believers will try to avoid this topic as much as possible. And yet learning to rest in Jesus, learning to trust Him wholly, learning to be content no matter what, comes through our ability to be patient. Think again of our friend Paul and listen to his words in Philippians 4. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Those are words that you and I probably recite more often than we realize. We just had a bird fly into the window that grabbed my attention. I'll be patient with that bird. Yeah. These words are words that should ring true in our hearts. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter how bad it appears on the outside. God is in control. And He will see us through. Paul said, if I have plenty or I have nothing, if I'm rich or I'm poor, if I have food or don't have food, I'll go on to say if I'm healthy or not healthy, God says, I got you. Trust in me and I will walk through this with you. Just be content in what I am giving you. So here's a little bit of a takeaway when it comes to patience. Patience is developed. Patience is built. Patience is honed in our lives through adversity. Through adversity. None of us want that. None of us want the conflict or the pain or the difficulty. We don't want it. In fact, didn't we just talk about the last couple weeks that we want peace, and in our mind, peace means the absence of conflict altogether? So how wrong are we now? Not only is that not the peace we want, we need the conflict in order to develop the perseverance which helps us to mature in Christ. So how wrong have we been looking at all of this? How different is this than what the world would tell us? Conflict, according to James, is part of us developing perseverance so that we can mature in Christ. Let's circle back a minute to this issue of being patient with other people. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul writes a whole section in that scripture about living the way we should live. In fact, modern man has titled this section of scripture, Rules for Holy Living. Think that's important? I would kind of say so. He is, of course, speaking in this section of scripture to believers. This isn't to the world. This isn't to pagans. This isn't to people that don't know Christ. He is talking to us. This is something we need to pay attention to because it's for us, believers. Rules for holy living. And he says this in chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Did you grab all of that? Those are just three little verses of how you and I are supposed to treat each other. And dare I say, as the church in general, the church as a whole, we are not doing well with that. We are very judgmental people to the outside world, but even to each other. We are very judgmental people. We're not real good at forgiving. And, you know, pick up this one sentence. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Is there anything He hasn't forgiven you for? Then take that a step further. Once He's forgiven you, does He talk about it anymore? Does He bring it up anymore? Does He remember it anymore? He washes it away. It's gone. And yet we somehow think it's okay to hold on to things. We somehow think it's okay not to forgive, but to have grudges. Folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And the sad truth is the church, in general, the church treats each other very poorly. We tend to point out each other's negative qualities as opposed to praising their good qualities. We tend to point out their mistakes, no matter how little they might be, as opposed to patting them on the back for how great of a job they've done. We just don't see things quite the way we're supposed to, which is completely the opposite of what we are told to do. Patience is an incredibly difficult topic for most of us. We want to have patience, but we don't want to walk through what it takes to gain patience. We don't want to walk through what Scripture lays out for us in order to have patience and to mature. Let's look at a couple other scripture references in regards to patience and what they say to us today as well. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Look at those couple words there. Through faith and patience. Inherit what has been promised. Seems we do an awful lot to avoid patience, and yet it is a major role, or supposed to be a major role, in our walk, because it's through faith and patience that we will inherit what has been promised. So if we're avoiding patience, are we pushing away that inheritance? Some things to think about. How about Proverbs 19:11? A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. To his glory to overlook an offense. Do we ever think of patience as being beneficial to us? We always look at it as something very negative. We don't envision it as it being the positive element that it really is supposed to be. We don't see it being helpful in any way in our lives. And yet, here, this one proverb, wisdom gives him patience. It's to the glory, his glory, to overlook the offense. That's a very positive element for us. I think we need to spend much more time thinking about patience than avoiding patience. One more scripture I want to read this morning and look at real quick. This one is back in 2 Peter chapter 3, and it's verses 10 through 15. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And he doesn't stop there. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Are you beginning to see the connection in all these things? All these elements that we're talking about regarding the fruit of the Spirit and the connection not only that they have with Christ, but the maturity in our lives and our ultimate destination. Scripture is pretty clear here. We should be looking forward to those future events. We should be praising God for the patience He has with us so that we can continue to work towards that future glory, that future heaven. See, without God's patience, you and I would be toast. There's just no other way to put that. Without God's willing patience, we wouldn't have a chance of repentance. We wouldn't have a chance to turn around. We wouldn't have a chance to mature. We wouldn't have a chance to be different people. According to Scripture, God was so patient with us that He chose to wait some 2,000 plus years for his return. He's coming back again. And he's calling us all home. And he's destroying this utterly sinful place that we currently call home. And yet he's so patient, he's waited for you and I to make a change. He's waited for you and I to repent. He's waited for you and I to come into a relationship with him so that we're not left behind. He is so unbelievably patient, waiting for us to be saved and everybody else that he has ordained to be called home, to be saved, to be waited upon. He could have just wiped us all out when that serpent deceived Adam and Eve and they took a bite of that fruit. He could have just said, I'm done, forget it, it's over. But he's been so unbelievably patient. We need to reflect on Christ and all that he has done for us and the patience that he has displayed for us day after day. And perhaps we could learn to have a little more patience with each other, both inside the church and outside the church. Perhaps we could learn to have a little more patience with ourselves. And don't misunderstand that statement. That doesn't give us the freedom to sin. That doesn't give us the freedom to willingly go and do what is wrong or foolish. But that patience with ourselves is simply understanding that when we mess up, God is right there to forgive us, to pick us up, to wash us clean, to make us white as snow, to help us. That's what that patience for us is about. But we need to learn to have more patience. And unfortunately, as much as we don't want to and as much as we're told not to, we need to pray for patience. Just know that when you pray for patience, odds are conflict is going to arise. Trouble is going to come. Difficulty or perceived difficulties are going to be in our future. Because that is what helps us to develop the patience that we are supposed to have. So don't pray for patience hoping to avoid the conflict. Pray for patience in preparation for the conflict, that you can learn to make your way through. As unpleasant as it appears to be on the surface, we have to change our minds regarding this whole idea of patience. We simply have to change it. We have to learn to pursue it just as much as we want to pursue that joy and that peace element of life, because they are all equal. Remember, it's one fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 elements listed, but it's one fruit. It's a package deal. And just as much as we pursue joy and peace, we got to pursue the rest of them. Patience, kindness, gentleness, all that stuff. It's all a package program. So as unpleasant as it may seem on the surface, we got to overcome it, folks. And we got to work on patience. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to do that, Lord, starting with me. I don't like to be patient. I confess, I admit it. Lord, we're not there. We're not patient easily. God, help us to change our hearts, our thoughts, our attitudes, our mindsets. Lord, as we just read and learned from your word, patience is a part of this whole package. Lord, we can't avoid it. We got to work through it. We got to learn it. God, help us to do that. Help us to have patience in our daily lives. Lord, conflict's going to come. Conflict's going to arise. Conflict and difficulties are going to be a part of this life. God, help us to have the patience to get through them. God, help us to walk in a maturing manner, getting closer and closer to you. God, help us to have the pure joy that James talked about in those circumstances and in those situations. God, help us to become mature Christians in the name of Jesus Christ. God, help us. Every one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.